The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review with Hugh Hewitt podcast, bringing to you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Here's another piece I'll trust you enjoy.
Once a month, Philip Balboni, the founder and executive editor of the Daily Chatter, joins me, and we could talk today about Senegal. We could talk about France. I really like the piece on Northern Ireland because, of course, the Hewitts are from Ulster. But we got to talk about Iran, Phil, because you covered Iran this morning in a way that I don't think anyone else knows. Big elections today. Take it from there and tell people what's going on in Iran today.
So there's an election for the parliament in Iran, and also for something called the Assembly of Experts, which chooses the next Ayatollah. So Ayatollah Khamenei has been in power for 35 years. He's 84 years old. He probably won't be around much longer. So this group of people is pretty important. But the people of Iran are not happy with their government. So 52% of the population of Iran, according to a Gallup poll, disapproves of its government over the handling of the economy, which is in terrible shape, and foreign affairs. 43% of 15 to 29-year-olds expressed a desire to leave the country permanently.
Wow.
The last election was 4 years ago, and only 40% of the people voted. And in Tehran, the capital city, the largest city, only 26% of the people voted. So all the candidates, or some 15,000, have to be approved by something, another one of these groups of clerics, because Iran is a theocratic state. They have to approve all the candidates. And all the opposition candidates, of course, are not allowed to run.
So you know, Phil, if I pause here for a moment, I run around and I run into people who are worried about Christian nationalism and they can't define it in the United States. They call some Republicans theocrats. If they want to see a theocracy, you go to Iran. Everything has to make the cut muster with the supreme leader, who's an Ayatollah, and this Ayatollah has been around forever. You said he's been dying forever, too. He's 84. Do they elect the Supreme Council, or is that another one of these elections by selection?
No, they do. This group of Assembly of Experts actually will choose the next Ayatollah. And there's already a kind of a jockeying for power behind the scenes as to who will be that next person. And it will be somebody who I'm sure looks exactly like the current Ayatollah, very conservative, very anti-U.S. You know, of course, you know, your listeners and viewers know that, you know, Iran is supporting terrorist groups and militias in no less than five countries. So Hamas and Islamic Jihad in Gaza, Hezbollah in Lebanon, the regime in Syria, the militias in Iraq, and the Houthis in Yemen, who are, of course, disrupting shipping traffic in the Red Sea.
You know, Phil, I made an argument at the National Religious Broadcasters this past week that Putin runs a cult, the Chinese Communist Party is a secular religion, and Iran is the real deal, the real theocracy. Is there any other theocracy remotely as dangerous as Iran? And I'm putting China in a different category because it's an ideological regime, but it's not a theocracy. I think Iran is the most dangerous theocracy in the world.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you have countries like Saudi Arabia, which is, you know, a Sunni. Iran is Shia Muslim, so there are two main branches of Islam. Saudi Arabia, you know, is a kingdom. It's very fundamentalist, but of a different brand of Islam. But no, you're right. There is no country that as important as Iran that is ruled basically by the religious people in the country.
Now, when the Supreme Council disallows someone running, do any liberals, you know, we often hear about the, quote, moderate Iranians. There aren't any moderate Iranians. They get knocked off the ballot. But does anyone ever sneak through and become a force for freedom and moderation in Iran?
Yeah. In fact, the last president, Mr. Rouhani, was fairly reasonable, and he was the one who negotiated the, you know, the Iranian deal with the prior administration. So there are, and the young people in Iran really want to be free to choose their own leaders, to live a better life. I mean, I think Iran's a great country. I mean, the Persian Empire, you know, we know from history, I mean, it's a great culture. It's a beautiful country. It's a real shame.
Yeah, I would have been to Tehran years and years ago if it had remained under the Shah, where the white revolution was changing everything when he was toppled in 1978. But I don't know that it's ever going to dig out of this hole, Phil. They're betting everything on nuking. They're fundamentalists who have an eschatology which is very dangerous to the world. And I don't think that really the world understands that if they don't follow things like the Daily Chatter. Do you think people have a grip on what Shia end times theology is?
No, for sure. I'm slightly hopeful that, I mean, that there's strong support for change inside Iran. And I'm slightly hopeful that eventually there will be a major change. I mean, you know, there have been some big uprisings in Iran. They've all been crushed. But God willing, one day that will change.
Now, they do actually, as you pointed out, they control the Houthis. They used to control Hamas. I don't know that they do anymore because there's not much left of Hamas. And they control Hezbollah. And right now the Israelis are saying to Hezbollah, move back or we're going to go to war. What do you see happening there, Phil Balboni? And what does the Daily Chatter predict in Lebanon?
I predict in Lebanon that the cap will stay on. I mean, the U.S. is working hard to not let this terrible war in Gaza spread fully to Lebanon. I think Mr. Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, has shown some restraint as well. And now the Iranians are telling their proxies, you know, tamp it down. They don't want a full-out war with the United States either. So I think I'd be hopeful on that one, Hugh. But if we have a little time to talk about Gaza, we really should.
Okay, go up. We do. We got a couple more minutes.
Yeah, I mean, what's happening in Gaza is a tragedy of really epic proportions. I mean, I don't know if your listeners realize, I mean, 30,000 killed.
Well, that's according to the Hamas injured. People, of whom 13,000 are probably terrorists. But go ahead.
It is, according to the Gaza Health Ministry, which most people think is pretty accurate. And yes, you're right. probably 10 to 14,000. Israel says they've killed 14,000 Hamas out of that 30,000. But 80% of the population has been displaced. I mean, when you think about 30,000 killed and you think about that's 1.3% of the population of Gaza. I mean, you think about that in terms of the United States, if it were us, that's more than 4 million people. I mean, it's a lot of people. And, you know, famine is spreading. I mean, the hospitals have all been devastated. I'm not saying it's clear that Israel has done this, but of course, it's not as simple as that.
But, no, I think they've got to go into Rafah and finish the job, or we'll be doing this after you and I are gone. We'll do this again when Hamas, if Hamas is left there, it's cancer. It'll just come back. So I hope they go into Rafah soon. But tell me something about Egypt's approach to this, Phil. I've never understood. Gaza was Egyptian territory until the 1967 war. Why don't they want it back?
Because they don't want the problems. The Egyptians are smart. The Palestinians, wherever they have been displaced to, Jordan, Egypt, Lebanon, and other places around the world after 1948, the Palestinians were pretty much, not all of them, but most of them were driven out of what is now Israel, and they went to various places. The Egyptians do not want the Palestinians to be coming across what is now the border at the Sinai, and they want them to stay in Gaza. I mean, you know, one solution to the problem would be if the people of Gaza could cross the border at Rafah and go into Egypt and have shelter. Israel.
That's the obvious thing. And they're building a big camp there. They are building a big camp. Phil, before we run out of time, I always want to remind everyone, and I just did online, the Daily Chatter is absolutely free to teachers and students in high school and college. And you're doing a great service with this. Yes. How is it growing?
11,211 students and teachers, 1,000 schools, 70 countries. I mean, it's really amazing. We have a good-sized university of people who are reading about the world every morning, learning more. It's entirely free. There are no strings attached. We love doing this. We love working with young people.
And I've never asked you. I wanted to ask you about this. I have a large homeschooling audience. Can a homeschooling mom or dad get access to Daily Chatter for their kids?
They can. They should write to me, and I'm happy to hear from them. And I have heard from some of your people who are homeschooled. The links, when you go to www.dailychatter.com, there's links there for teachers and faculty and high schools. That doesn't work if for homeschool, but we can fix it and we can provide an accommodation. Happy to have them.
And I close by saying to everyone who's teaching American history or social studies or government, you've got to have your kids read every day. They'll learn more about Northern Ireland and the amnesty. I didn't know about that, Phil, until this morning. And every single day, whether it's Senegal, whether it's Iran, whether it's France, whether it's Northern Ireland, Phil Balboni and the Daily Chatter do a great public service. Thank you, Phil. Be well. Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today. Send them to our website, townhallreview.com. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for joining us.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.